You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
How's it going, Bears fans? Nicholas Moriano here from the Chicago Audible. As you can see, I am your one and only host. Right now, at the time of this recording, Will is making his coaching debut. So hopefully, you know, by the time this podcast is over, Will and I are talking about a, you know, first victory of his coaching career. But I'll definitely have to catch up with him when that happens. But until then, you have me. And you also have two other guests I decided to bring on for this podcast. And our first one is my former professor at DePaul and current Chicago Sun-Times reporter, Patrick Finley. So hope you guys enjoy the conversation, and then we'll introduce our second guest. We have a special guest for today's show. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's a Mizzou grad, and he was my former professor at DePaul. We have the one and only Patrick Finley. Patrick, how are you doing today?
Am I violating any sort of HIPAA law if I say you were a really good student? Am I allowed to do that?
I don't know, but you already said it, so we're going to go ahead and keep that, and there's nothing that can be done about it. So, but that was an interesting time, too, because I was really looking forward to being in person, but since with the COVID-19 and everything, you made the best out of it, and it was a really good class, but now we're back on again, so this is cool.
No, I was just going to say you guys made my life really easy in that. Okay, enough niceties. Go ahead.
Yeah. Before we get into talking about Bears training camp and what's been going on there, I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the statement that the Bears sent about an hour ago, and also how the Bears organization as a whole has addressed maybe making the voices of their players heard and just support it throughout the times. What are your thoughts on just those kind of aspects? Not the football, but everything kind of outside of it.
I think they had been really good about this. If you look at the statements written and even the ones attributed to George McCaskey, the Bears chairman, you know, when George Floyd was killed, they said George Floyd was killed. They didn't say, you know, violence in the streets. They didn't use any of these euphemisms that most other companies, corporations use. They actually came out and said, you know, this is what happened. I was a little disappointed by the statement today. It's hard as a reporter to put stock into, you know, a couple paragraphs that are attributed to, quote, the Bears players. I mean, those are, what, 80 guys? But when we've talked to the Bears players ourselves in recent days, it's clear that they're passionate about trying to find some sort of social justice here. It's clear that they're angry the way that I think most people are angry about this. And it's clear that Matt Nagy has told them to try to use their influence in a positive way. I don't know what the next step is for them, but when you hear guys like Charles Leno say, I want to go to Kenosha, like that's powerful. And I'm curious to see what their next step is, because their first step today was just a statement saying that they planned on doing action.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a really unique time to be covering sports, from, you know, COVID-19 to the Black Lives Matter movement. There's just so much going on. So what has it been like to cover the Bears during this time?
Specifically to the Black Lives Matter, to George Floyd, to Kenosha, those things, it's clear that the stick to sports idea is just dead and buried. I mean, it's not even a consideration anymore that players would bite their tongues with issues of this magnitude. Players, I don't think, are afraid of what their bosses think anymore when it comes to them maybe coming out on a different side of a political issue than the owners of the team. George McCaskey seems to be in lockstep with them, but I know in other franchises that's been the case. So it's been interesting. It's been The players have power now in a way that they didn't even 5 years ago. What is it like covering them in the coronavirus? That's a whole different story. Practice has been the same but different. I am in a group of media that actually gets coronavirus tested in case we need to go indoors to cover the Bears. So I've been doing that. But even with that, you know, a ball bounced away in the middle of practice the other day and landed at my feet, and I threw it back in. And later I found out that they don't like people touching the football because you never know whether you might give the football coronavirus, and then the coronavirus might end up with other people. So, you know, we're all just trying to find our way through this strange time, and the Bears have gone above and beyond, I think, with their own players and trying to keep them safe. And trying to make sure that they stay safe. And that will be the big challenge once the season starts.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have done, again, a great job covering training camp. But let's just get this out of the way, Patrick. What's it been like covering a quarterback competition? And who do you believe has the upper hand? Is it Mitch? Is it Nick? Is it anybody really at this point? But what has that all been like?
I think Mitch has been better more days than Nick has been better to this point. I think that neither of them have been good. I don't think anybody has run away and hid with this job, which I thought the best case scenario for them would have been Mitch runs away with it. You know, then you've got Nick Foles in the position where Nick Foles has been a star as a backup quarterback. And I think the best of both worlds would have been Mitch makes an emphatic statement. Nick Foles is there to come out of the bullpen when they need him, to take over if somebody gets hurt, and to be the best backup quarterback in football. That's what I, you know, think they were hoping for. That hasn't happened yet. You know, I wish this were a regular offseason because, you know, we've watched whatever it is, 7 or 8 practices in person. In a regular offseason, we would have watched OTAs. We would have watched, you know, some of mini camp. We would have watched training camp for multiple weeks. We'd have a lot more of a database ourselves. But I think Mitch is ahead, and it feels strange to say.
Yeah, I can get that. I mean, do you think he starts week 1, though?
I think they have a scrimmage on Saturday at Soldier Field. I think that is giant. And I know it's silly to build up a scrimmage that nobody's going to be able to see, but it's – it will be our first, I think, our first and last decisive test over, you know, who does well under the lights, as it were. If I had to bet right now, I think it'd be Mitch. I think as of right this second, the only way, if the season started tomorrow, the only way Foles is the starter is if the Bears put stock in his career, not in his last couple of weeks, because his last couple of weeks have been inconsistent. Just as Mitch's have, but I think Mitch has been a little better.
Gotcha. And has there been, and to get away from maybe quarterback talk, because I know you probably get asked that question every single time, has anybody stood out to you that maybe you weren't expecting in this training camp? You guys have only, you know, been there a limited amount of times, but has anybody just kind of stood out that you weren't anticipating?
Oh, that I wasn't anticipating. You know, the Jimmy Graham hype train has left the left the station. But, you know, he just looks – I mean, you forget he's 6'7". There aren't too many 6'7 people walking around. He just looks imposing. I'm not saying that has any relevance on whether he will be great when the season starts, but in practice he certainly looks to be as advertised. You know, there's some kind of bottom-of-the-barrel guys or bottom-of-the-roster guys that I have found myself liking. But in terms of who's going to make a big impact on the season, Roquan Smith, I think, looks fantastic. I think that Allen Robinson looked to be his normal standout self until he hurt his ankle. And, you know, the next couple of weeks are going to be really important for him because, you know, the clock is ticking. We've got about 2 weeks for Allen Robinson to get a contract extension. And if he doesn't, he will be playing in a walk year. You know, granted, the Bears can give him a franchise tag next year if they want to. That's probably not the best financial decision, but if he doesn't get a deal, he may, I mean, it'll be complicated, I think, his emotions going into this final season.
Yeah, we know Ryan Pace likes to do those things first week of September, but if he doesn't do this, like, that would be alarming for sure. But you mentioned the tight ends, though, Patrick, and there's a lot of buzz around them. And then we hear reports that they are having a stellar camp. Is it too early to get excited about a position group that was arguably the worst in the league last season?
No, because all they've got to do, you know, if they're just average, that is such a major leap from what they had last year. And I think you can make the same argument about the quarterbacks too, is if you just give me the 18th best position group in the NFL, and it's going to be a big leap. I've liked Graham. Kmet looks good. We'll see, on Kmet, you got to warn people, especially that inline tight end position. You got to learn all the blocking assignments like a lineman. You got to learn all the pass routes like a receiver. That's really tough to learn in your rookie year, much less in a short year like this. So, we'll see how he handles game action. Even guys like J.P. Holtz, Eric Sauber, I mean, they've all looked good. And I wouldn't be surprised if they kept 5 or 6 of them. And that's amazing in itself when you consider that, what, at this time last year, the Bears had one tight end who is now still on their roster, I think that's it. Yeah. They've had this major turnover, and a lot of them seem to be doing pretty well.
Sticking with the offense here, Patrick, with David Montgomery expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks, which I think is still a little bit optimistic, how do you think this injury kind of impacts Cordarrelle Patterson's role in the offense now?
I joked in, March that I thought Cordarrelle Patterson could be their second best running back. And they moved him over. He's doing, it's no secret he's doing a lot of work with running backs now. I still think he might be their second best running back. I don't know whether the charm of him goes away if you have to use him regularly. There's an element of being a gadget player there that I think would disappear if he was your every down guy. I wouldn't sleep. This sounds a sentence you didn't think you'd hear today. I wouldn't sleep on Artavis Pierce. I think the undrafted running back from Oregon State might be more versatile than all the other guys they've got. And if you're just looking for somebody who can do a little bit of everything, maybe it's him. I think we're looking at a committee probably, especially if it's only a couple of weeks. And one of the things to consider, the Bears could go shopping and they could go try and find a running back who's still on the street. But just the act of getting him in the building, the act of him having to pass 2 coronavirus tests in 4 days, the act of him having to learn the playbook, we're getting really close to the start of the season by the time that guy is up and running. I mean, maybe he knows what he's doing by the Monday before the Lions game. I just don't know whether that's worth it if you only need to patch for a couple of weeks.
So we shouldn't be expecting Ryan Nall to finally make an impact on his team. I don't know if you get this all the time, Patrick, but our listeners love their Ryan Nall, and they're waiting for it. But no, you're not expecting Ryan Nall to make this impact now?
He might. I mean, he could be part of that platoon. He's been so good in the preseason. And, I think I say every year, if the preseason meant anything, Ryan Nall would be, would get 10 carries a game during the regular season. I don't know how reliable he is to do more than run between the tackles. I know the Bears like him. I know the Bears have spoken well of him. There's a reason he's stuck on this roster for a couple of years. That doesn't really happen unless the team thinks they can use you. I just don't know that he's – if you're looking at the number one, I don't know that he's the number one.
That makes sense. Now to go to some journalistic type of questions here, Patrick. What was it like asking Khalil Mack questions while he was on a Peloton?
You should ask a TV person that, because they, I'm sure, did not appreciate it. We hadn't talked to Khalil Mack since December 20th. So I would have talked to Khalil Mack if Khalil Mack were on a Peloton, if Khalil Mack were on a rowing machine, if Khalil Mack were in a steam shower. It didn't matter. We were just happy to get him. It's not unusual for him. And, you hear his teammates talk about all these Zoom meetings they had to do, all off season, whether it was position groups or the big meetings they did, or when they brought in, Doc Rivers and all these guys to talk to them. And they all say that Khalil Mack would work out during the Zoom meeting. So, I might be sitting here just staring, at my laptop in my office, but Khalil Mack would literally be like lifting free weights in his house with his, camera on him. So that's that's just how he operates. I'll tell you this, he's looked just, he's always in phenomenal shape, but even more so now. He's excited about his little brother being on the roster, which may sound like a small thing, but especially during the coronavirus, especially when it may be hard for him to see family and friends, it's hard for all of us to see family and friends. I think he's appreciated the fact that he could have somebody close to him, both at his house and on the team. And because of that, I wouldn't be shocked if Ladarius made the practice squad just for that. He seems pissed off, to borrow a Virginia McCaskey line. Last year was not what he thought it would be, and I wouldn't want to have to mess with an angry Khalil Mack. Let's put it that way.
No, that doesn't sound like a win-win for anybody. Pissed off Khalil Mack. And one more other question about, I guess, covering Bears training camp. What are the vantage points like? Do you have to use binoculars a bunch of the times? Because I know they've done a lot of, you know, restructuring there at Hallis Hall, but what is it like covering it in the vantage points that you guys get?
Because I was telling you about this tiered situation, I'm in a little different spot than most of the reporting group. Most of the reporting group is kind of on a near sideline with a three or four tier bleacher setup, like you'd see it like a little league field, that sort of thing. So that enables them to stand up and maybe be able to look over some guys. Every once in a while, I'm not going to lie to you, every once in a while, I just end up staring at the backs of offensive linemen for 20 minutes because that's where our little group is. The Bears some days are closer to us than others. But again, you know, I hope I don't have my sports writer card taken away from me. But, you know, they're playing football. We have jobs. Everybody that we know of is healthy. It's easy to complain, but it's also hard to complain.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, with everything going on, but you'd want it to be better. If it could be, it makes sense. The next time you guys will be at practice, like you said, is going to be on that Saturday scrimmage, correct? That's going to be the last and final time for training camp. Is that what it's sounding like?
Yes. Yeah. The Bears are going into kind of game week mode a week early. So yeah, we'll do the scrimmage there and we'll be able to check in on practice for the next 2 weeks, but not nearly as long as we usually can during training camp. And this scrimmage will be telling, I think, not just because of the quarterbacks, but you know, there's no, say what you will about preseason games. Preseason games, most of them are horrible, but there's a dry run element in there that is important. You know, the Bears, you know, I don't believe they're doing this for the exhibition, but for preseason games, they, you know, they'll stay downtown at the hotel they stay at downtown. They'll take the buses, you know, they'll send the early outs out. You know, that shows rookies and new veterans kind of here's what our routine is. And there's a value to that. So some of what we're going to see at the exhibition is just going to be okay, this is what it feels like to play a game here. This is, you know, Nick Foles doesn't know where the locker room is, you know, it's, you know, shoot, Nick Foles is still, I mean, Nick Foles as of 2 weeks ago is still learning everybody's name. So there's value there beyond playing. And then when it comes to the on-field thing, this is as close to a preseason game as they're going to have. So if you're, you know, player 60 through 80, this is your probably one chance to make them think twice about you.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be an important practice, and can't wait to get the updates. But, Patrick, thank you so much for hopping on real quick. Make sure to follow Patrick Finley on social media, at Patrick Finley. All the updates, articles, always great stuff. And it was great having you on, Patrick.
Hey, anytime.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed my conversation with Patrick Finley. Always good to catch up with him. I've learned so much from him over the few months that I've gotten to know him. But before we move on to our next guest, I want to make sure to give our shout out to John Stegmeier, who sent in a donation. Hey, John, thank you so much. Will and I greatly appreciate it. We couldn't be doing this show without people like you. So again, thank you. And if there's anybody that wants to get their name, their shout out on the next podcast, here's how you can make that happen. You could send in a donation through Venmo or PayPal. And on Venmo, the username is at the Chicago Audible. Should see my name and should see the Chicago Audible logo. And through PayPal, it's www.chicagoaudible.com patreon.com/PayPal. And this next guest, you should have remembered his name, Mason West, a guy that always donates to the Chicago Audible podcast and just the best dude, so knowledgeable. And obviously, we're going to talk about David Montgomery's injury. And at the time of the recording, we didn't know the severity of it. And today, on Thursday, came out that David Montgomery is about 2 to 4 weeks. That's what the time span is going to be. But Mason has so much insightful knowledge on the injury. What are the, you know, the best case scenario, the worst case scenario? So I think you guys will definitely enjoy this conversation. And here we go, my conversation with Mason West. We have Mason West here, who is a physical therapist at Team Rehabilitation in Barrington, Illinois. Mason, how's it going, my man?
Not too bad. You know, just another Wednesday. But, you know, it's always great talking to you. But again, wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you have been on the podcast before with Will, but that was just audio. This takes it to a whole new level with the video portion. And I think it just adds another kind of element to it. And before we went live here, I just want to thank you on the podcast for being so flexible, because I literally texted you not even an hour ago saying, hey, can we get you on the podcast? Then I text you a little bit later, can we make this a video portion? So again, Mason, thank you so much for being so flexible.
Yeah, of course. You know, at the end of the day, we got to get this content out, all the Bears fans out there that need it. Got to be flexible on top of it, because, you know, people want to hear this stuff, right? So let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of, we're being flexible. Everyone at House Hall is being flexible with everything going on there. So it all kind of works out together. But we'll get right into it, Mason. And I just kind of want to know, what was your initial reaction when you saw David Montgomery go down, when you saw that video kind of surface all over Twitter? What was your initial reaction?
So, of course, you know, the first thing is you just see some of those tweets where it just says, hey, non-contact injury, and you get those alarms like, oh, please don't be an ACL tear. And then you finally see the video start to surface, and it looks almost, you know, like a little bit of not too consequential, right? A lot of us have done that, whether it's, you know, we're walking outside on the ice or we're playing a sport and we have that kind of a slip. And when you really look at how he went down, it doesn't seem that bad. But when you really break it down, that there's a lot of stress, a lot of force going on, right in that left leg specifically.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I saw it, I'm like, well, it kind of, again, trying to put this in the best way possible, but it looks like more so the ground kind of gave out before his leg, and then he kind of has that awkward fall. But Matt Nagy told reporters that it is, in fact, a groin injury. But what exactly does that mean, Mason? I saw you tweeting as the video kind of surfaced. What's the worst-case scenario? What's the best-case scenario? Tell us a little bit about a groin injury and all the different avenues it can really go.
Yeah, there are – it's a pretty broad term when you say groin injury. If you go to the best case scenario, it's really just a strain of the adductor group. Simplest way to look at it, it's the muscles that are on the inner part of your thigh and will actually pull that leg in or add to your body in a way. That's a way you can remember which group it is. Just like any other strain, you can get a grade 1 through 4. Grades 1s and 2s, not too bad, just some disruption of those muscle fibers, pain, inflammation, got to give it time to heal, strengthen, all that stuff. And then as you get to grade 3, it's a partial tear that definitely takes longer. And then grade 4, which is more of a complete tear. You don't really see those too much. Grade 4 is when it comes to the adductor group, because it's such a big muscle, specifically the adductor longus and adductor magnus, as they come up and attach to this pubic bone or basically your pelvis. Those are really the best case scenarios. Worst case scenario, we're talking more of a sports hernia. That's going, not a true hernia. That's a bit of a misnomer. Like a regular hernia is when you actually have some of the viscera, so like an intestine, for example, that might protrude through the core musculature. And obviously that's a huge deal. But when it comes to a sports hernia, the actual name for it that most of the medical community likes actually is more athletic pubalgia, which basically means an athletic pubic pain, really is where you look at it. There's usually a big imbalance between the core muscles, specifically a lot of times the oblique muscle, and those big adductor muscles. Usually they can be very strong and tight, actually. And so when you have this big pull and over elongation, like we saw with David Montgomery, there could essentially be a tear where that big adductor muscle meets some of those oblique and core muscles. Now that's usually worse because your core is part of everything you do, right? No matter what you do, you turn, you cough, you walk, you talk, it's working. So usually those tend to be more on the surgical route. At this point, we're not necessarily sure what it is. He's got to do a lot of imaging and they're obviously get checked out. But, you know, fingers crossed, it's not a sports hernia. It's just your traditional groin strain.
So what would be the timetable? Like, again, we don't know the severity of the injury. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different body in dealing with injuries. But from just going from a strain to a sports hernia, what's a timetable we could be possibly looking at for a recovery time?
If we're looking at just your traditional strain, that's going to be somewhere probably in the 4 to 8 week mark. And of course, too, like you said, everyone's body heals differently. And then there, when you talk about sports, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured, right? The true injured aspect of it's going to be in that 2 to 3 week range. And then it's about, okay, well, how productive can you be? Like, because you can play through it a bit, but you also now have to look at the long-term consequences, because you have someone, for example, like Trey Burton. He had a lot of that groin issue and everything for the playoff game. It lingered. And he was never the same player. So you don't want David Montgomery returned too early, hence why you kind of push it more towards that 6 to 8 week. If you're talking more a sports hernia where you're going to need surgery, that's going to extend it significantly now more towards 8 to 12 weeks. And that's after the surgery happens. So that's going to miss it. That would be a large, large, large chunk of the season there. And then you talk about position too, that it's a very different position where it's very dynamic in terms of the cutting. That's what, how it happened, right? You know, trying to stick your foot in the ground, kind of gives out on you. This over elongation of the muscle, wasn't ready for that force, and you know, you get an injury.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we all know David Montgomery's a guy that likes to make a lot of cuts on the football field. That's kind of his game. So just hearing what you have, you know, about the injury, the recovery time, and how it affects position. Again, not the most encouraging thing, but we got to see what the severity of the injury is and, you know, exactly how David Montgomery is going to handle that. But it seems like these groin injuries are affecting a number of Bears players in this camp. We had Eddie Pinheiro, who's dealing with, and I quote, a little bit of a groin injury. Weird how they kind of put that there. But you also have David Montgomery. Yeah, a little bit. David Montgomery, obviously. And then also Josh Woods, all dealing with some type of groin injury. What's up with that? Is that just something, again, with a constricted training camp and also one that's accelerated in the same aspect that you're going to see a lot of these lower body injuries?
Yeah, in general, when it comes to football, it's going to be more lower dominant over upper just due to the nature of the game, the power that's needed. You know, it's quick and explosive. The average football play is seconds long, and so it's a lot of force generated over that time. When you talk about specifically some of that groin injury, it is much more of about being a stabilizer. So when you talk about, let's just talk like the core in general, I like to talk about kind of like a soda can, top of that core being your diaphragm, bottom being the pelvic floor, and then the sides of it being your transverse abdominis. Now, if you can stand on a soda can, no problem, because it's nice and strong. But if you poke a hole in it, you stand on it, the can's going to collapse on you pretty quickly. And that's what can happen when you don't have a properly trained core. And then that's going to now make those other muscles, like such as the adductor in this case, maybe even hamstrings. We've seen a couple, not necessarily with the Bears, but across the league, some hamstring issues, quadricep, right? Gerald McCoy had the rupture of his quadricep tendon. Those have to work significantly harder. That can happen, especially in this situation, because of the general deconditioning some of these guys came in with. You know, obviously there were some instances where we saw these crazy workout videos for players. Some people were coming in great shape, but it's just not the same thing. Running, you know, lifting heavy is not the same thing as running routes on the field. You know, a lot of these guys may have not been doing some of the workouts on grass and they have only been within the confines of a more controlled environment, things like that. And so that's why we're seeing so many of these injuries, is that it's just not, they didn't have the sport specific training necessarily that they would have in a traditional offseason.
No, that makes complete sense there, Mason. Let me just ask you this. Obviously, we all knew this NFL season was going to be different. Were you kind of expecting to hear something like this eventually happening, whether it was on the Bears or, you know, any other team? Were you just kind of expecting, like, big names are going to go down at some point because, again, everything accelerated, they're not getting the proper maybe on-field work that would be typical for an NFL season? Were you just kind of expecting that at this point?
Yeah, and it's really interesting, you know, as from a selfish perspective, I'm in a couple of fantasy football leagues. And it's one of those things where just in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? You got to have your backups, because knowing that regardless of position, regardless of caliber of player, there's going to be these instances. We have no idea who's going to go down next, right? And that's why something as silly as what seems like having two kickers on your roster this year with, you know, with the Bears, it's very important, whether you're talking about COVID, someone testing positive, or these little nagging injuries. You don't have time to have to worry about, all right, who's my backup for these positions? And so whether you're talking about the NFL, NBA has had a lot of injuries in their playoff runs, and even we're seeing a lot in some of the more youth athletics or that's going on right now. Like right now, baseball is really big in Barrington, and you're seeing a lot of kids with elbow and shoulder injuries because they went from 0 to 60 in terms of throwing. Just a matter of time.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but I mean, this is kind of what happens when we're trying to accelerate things, get sports back. That's the repercussion of these things kind of happening. But Mason, in terms of there have been some other injuries. I just kind of want to get your opinion on them. We know that Akeem Hicks and Allen Robinson have been out. I think now this makes the fourth or fifth straight practice in. There could be veteran days off. Matt Nagy's not going to say too much, but Akeem Hicks, a quad injury, Allen Robinson, ankle. Matt Nagy's saying, hey, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. But if this kind of lingers on a little bit longer, they keep missing days. And look, what, September 13th, that's the Lions, Detroit Lions week one. Are you a little worried if that continues to happen throughout training camp?
I would put those two on pretty different trajectories. I would be less concerned about Allen Robinson, more so because of kind of the style of game he plays in terms of how he does his cuts. He's a tactician with it, even more so than a pure explosion speed kind of a guy. And it's not, you know, luckily, but they're both veterans too, so it's not like they're missing a lot of the playbook and stuff like that. So at least we're good on that perspective. But it is a very short period of time even for Allen Robinson. I mean, it's just a couple weeks away, and to say that he's going to be at 100% for that game, it really depends on where he's at now. If he's at a 60-70% now, then no, he's not going to be at 100% most likely. But if you're saying, like you're saying, it's more veteran days, we're just like, hey, you're at 80-90%, you're Allen Robinson, we don't need to see you run a go route, like, we know what you can do, then it's not as big of a concern. In terms of Akeem Hicks, and I talked about this a little bit with Will, whether it was Akeem Hicks, Paul Nichols, anytime you see these lower extremity and these big guys, it's something you kind of, you know, turns on your radar a little bit, like what's going on here, because that's a lot of mass to move, and they're just big, strong guys. And quad, in general, a lot of athletes tend to be quad dominant. They don't use their hamstrings enough, and there's just a lot of pressure on that knee. And that's essentially, if you look at that Gerald McCoy situation, right, that's what happened to him. So you really do have to look at managing potentially his minutes. I wouldn't be super surprised if all of a sudden game time comes and we're like, well, why isn't Akeem Hicks out there necessarily the amount of snaps that he normally would be on a week one of any regular season? So it's just something to keep in mind as that's going forward.
Gotcha. Again, maybe not the best thing to hear, but you're giving us the actual reality of what could happen throughout a season, what these injuries could mean for, you know, star players for the Bears. Mason, just one last question going back to David Montgomery. Let's say best case scenario is just a strain. Is that something, though, throughout the season that can't get better, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like that would be something, okay, David Montgomery, as much cuts he makes, everything he does, it's not going to get better, right?
Better is relative, right? Will he be able to play, and will he be able to play at a pretty solid level? Absolutely. That's not a huge concern. But he's probably going to, throughout the season, be having to work on that rehab process, right? He's going to have to be in the training room. He's most likely going to have to be doing some of those rehab-esque things to just keep it in line. And you just have to be ready. So whatever the Bears are doing, whether they're sticking with the running backs they have, whether they're diving into some of these guys that are free agents, be ready to say, okay, well, maybe he's not going to handle the workload we envisioned him handling overall. But again, it's relative. Most likely, you know, it's not going to be 100%, but how many football players are at 100% the whole season at the end of the day too? So once he comes back, I would be relatively confident that he'll be able to finish the season.
Okay, that's encouraging to hear, especially, again, it all depends on what exactly severity is, but, you know, hopefully best case scenario is just a strain. He's able to play through it, because I think I tweeted this earlier, like, if you take David Montgomery out of that running back room, it gets really sketchy as to who's going to be that guy. What's your opinion on the matter? Do you think they bring in somebody? What do you kind of see the Bears doing here at the running back situation if Montgomery's not, you know, full go?
It really depends on what the actual injury ends up being. If it is more of a long-term surgical thought process, I'm thinking you're looking at the free agent market. just to have a guy who's been there before in that kind of a load. I mean, Tariq Cohen, right? He's not a between the tackles, going to take a lot of workload. Cordarrelle Patterson did a little bit with the Patriots, and you know, it wasn't so really sustained. And then some of your other guys, I mean, you have no idea. Ryan Nall's a big guy that might be able to pound away, but you know, and Ryan Pace seems like he loves him. He brings him up in almost every press conference without anyone asking. Artavius Pierce is a big unknown, but he's shown flashes, but they haven't been there before. So do you go out for a Devonta Freeman who's out there, who's been there, done that? Yes, he doesn't necessarily have a lot of on the tread compared to where it was before, but he's done it and he's been a lead back. But if it is more that 4 week, 5 week, you could get away with the backs you have, you know, running back by committee, and just hope that whoever the quarterback may be can also help out with some of the passing game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mason, it's always great to talk Bears football. And if we were to go to the quarterback discussion, that's a whole podcast in itself. But so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And at the moment of this recording, this is Wednesday, the day that David Montgomery did sustain his injury. We'll see what happens tomorrow if any more news comes out. But before I let you go, Mason, do you want to plug yourself and let people know where they can find your work and just find where they can contact you at?
Yeah. So if if there's any questions, I'm always free to answer some stuff. If you need to get checked out yourself, I'm located in Barrington, Illinois, Team Rehabilitation. There's a couple of clinics spread out through the Chicagoland area. You know, each one's got its own little flavor. I think that we do a little bit more of the athletes. My clinic manager actually does a lot of golf stuff. So if your golf swing needs some work, and who's doesn't, hit him up, Jeremy Smith. But you can just find it if you Google Team Rehabilitation Barrington. You could also find me on Instagram. You plugged that before. It's dr.masonwest_sportsbt. And, you know, we can get you hooked up.
Awesome, Mason. Thank you so much for, again, being flexible. First time video podcast portion, so excited about that. But yeah, we'll probably bring you on. Hopefully it's maybe better news, you know, to bring you on. But hey, you obviously have the knowledge, and it's always insightful, and I know our fans will appreciate it. But thank you for hopping on.
Yeah, of course. You know, at the end of the day, I wish my professional knowledge was maybe not the sad stuff we get to talk about, but maybe, like you said, in the future it'll be more just celebrating some Bears wins, you know.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Mason.
Thank you.
All right. That about wraps it up for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, Will and I always like to bring on guests when we can, and we'll definitely look to do that in the near future as this 2020 season kind of rolls on here. We'll probably get an update from Will, how his first game went, on the next podcast. Don't know exactly when that'll be, but with the football season, you know, vastly approaching, I'm sure it'll be soon. But until next time, Bear down, Chicago. Bear down!